This is an intriguing and mysterious Bible incident. It involves a father's vow and a daughter's payment. The subject is sacrifice. It's a splendor found in womanhood. Jephthah the father was directed to be judge or president of Israel. His daughter transcends great women, Hannah, Ruth, Esther, Dorcas, in the giving of oneself for a cause. It is her title to fame. Her name is forgotten, but her selflessness endures all generations. She's simply Jephthah's daughter. Her story is the exposition of Christ's text. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jephthah was a fierce chieftain in the uplands of Gilead. His birth was a matter of gossip. He was tagged illegitimate. The family involved had asked him to leave, and it rankled. He knew and felt discrimination. His mission was to prove them wrong. He made muscle and recklessness language that could be understood by those who felt superior, and he gathered men of his spirit and imposed respect. And yet he was religious too. After a sort, he served a God created of his own ideals, powerful, revengeful, demanding eye for eye and tooth for tooth. The one soft spot in the man was for his daughter. She was his only child, and he lavished affection upon her. He allowed no rivals. She earned this tough and rough man's admiration by the beauty of spirit. For Jephthah, this only child was sun, moon, and stars. Suddenly, Jephthah reached a crisis. The nation needed him. Ammon oppressed Israel. The humiliation was severe. Israel needed strong, defiant leadership, and Jephthah was the answer. He was offered the nomination. It was a crowning honor for a despised illegitimate. It said in headline strength, "You are equal to any man in Israel." So he accepted. But it meant battle. And as battle approached, he began to have second thoughts. He wondered whether or not he might be equal to the task. He asked himself whether he was fit for such leadership and honor, and would he fail himself and his nation in battle? He knew it was the crisis to his fortunes. It was a condition of nervous dread. He needed assurance. Like so many in similar circumstances, he resorted to prayer, but unfortunately, not in the right spirit. Instead of listening, he attempts to strike a bargain. He wants to negotiate instead of supplicate. It's a troublemaker. "If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." It was reckless. It was a wild, inconsiderate pledge. A human sacrifice was common. The fruit of the body for the sin of the soul. He was reaching for faith, a faith God had nurtured in Abraham. The intent was right. The means were wrong. His mood is so heavy that he feels he must offer anything and everything, even his own child, for victory. It's a scared man grasping, and it is a wicked vow. He put success above all else. So did Napoleon. He sacrificed Josephine. It's a selfish prayer that says, "Lord, give me success at any cost, wife, child, parents, pastor, conscience, anything, so that I have success." And God sometimes answers that prayer, lady. He punishes us through the answer. Jephthah succeeds. He returns a hero. Cheers greet the warrior, and he's a big man in the community. Suddenly, he faces a promise. Now it's a promise he wishes he had never made. Herod knew the same feeling. Would God be so cruel to take him at his word? Jephthah hurries, but not in time, leading the welcome home, and the celebration is his own daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and he said, "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low." Well, it's here we meet nobility. A great woman realizes she's involved in tragedy, though none of it is her own will. A situation that is locked in. Jephthah cannot go back. It's a wager that demands his honor. Will she make it harder with shriek and tear? No, she will not. She will stand by a man who now must learn what success at any cost involves. She is the price of his recklessness. She offers her grace and generosity and nobility to cover for the rude and crude reach of a loved one. She counts victory more important than well-being, and freedom for the nation a greater reward than personal gain. Do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth, for as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance over thine enemies. One thing alone she asks. There's one she loves more dearly than even her father. That love she can never now enjoy. She can never be a wife or mother in Israel. To bid goodbye to that lover and to prepare her soul for the last dread ordeal, she craves 2 months respite among the hills to bewail her virginity. And more than one parent today is involving a child. How children pay and pay for parents' errors. More and more cruelty is coming to the attention of the authorities. But let's turn to the brighter lesson. Let's absorb the spirit of a young woman who, by her meek submission and noble sacrifice, turned a tale of horror into a favorite theme of the songs of the daughters of Israel. And there are 3 things that I see that, to my mind, present the ultimate in sacrifice. They gather around 3 great words: duty, love, life. First, duty. She was not a Don Quixote. Hers was a quiet strength. She did not demand bands playing and flags waving and reporters summoned for immediate press release. She did not go out seeking some great thing to do. Her sacrifice met her in the path of parental obedience. It was her daily character to do right. There never was any hesitancy. To her, there was no choice. Her preference was to do right. She didn't need camp-beating fervor to bring her to that point. And it's a lesson for all of us. Seek your sacrifices in the path of duty. Give that way. Don't wait until some great convention plays upon your ego. Give because it's the right thing to give. Give when the plate is passed on Sunday morning. Get to the service the same way. Don't wait for some special event to be staged on Wednesday night. All Wednesday nights are special, sir. You and I do not need some special theater to show forth virtue. My kitchen will do. Your utility room will do. This daughter found her opportunity at the front door of her home, and that's where she has written a lasting impression. How many approaching your house are asking for a living sacrifice, lady, and too often they meet the opposite. Now, second, love. It was twofold. First, to her father. Second, to her country. She must always be the paragon of beautiful Israeli girls. I've seen the imprint so often in Israel's present nationhood, in the faces and figures of her beautiful young women who place the welfare of home and country before personal advantage. These modern daughters ask for no pity. Their heads are held high. They realize the threat. They accept lack of comfort and a disciplined life that Israel may exist. I see this scene relived in Israel every time I visit. So many of her daughters are paying the price for the nation's freedom today. It reminds you of another who spilled her best at the feet of Jesus. Jesus commended her. She hath wrought a good work. Now this is the day when sacrifice is a forgotten word. Everyone wants to do his or her only thing. It's the root cause of our inflation. No one wants to give up anything. It's, well, let the other person take the blame. Jephthah's vow was wicked. It was presumptuous. The carrying out of it was horrible. His daughter's love transfigured it. She, more than any claim to greatness, allowed Jephthah to occupy a niche in Hebrews chapter 11. She covered for a father as many a wife has for a husband and many a parent has for a child. Society needs the return of this element more than any social grace. There can never be any greatness without sacrifice. Third, life. She did not count her life beyond giving. She gave her all. She was a shadow of him who laid down his life for the sheep. She really gave herself to redeem her father. It was a promise he could not fulfill without her sacrifice. I love the touch of this narrative, where she requested 2 months' extension to consider her early death on the mountains. There alone, in the lonely hills of Israel, she fortified her soul for the sacrifice ahead. And I think of him who did the same for me. John says as Calvary drew near, that Jesus withdrew to Bethany beyond Jordan. And this is what was known in the Old Testament as the land of Gilead. He was retreading the seams of Jephthah's daughter. I'm very sure he thought of her. Only sacrifice, Calvary, covers for the brutishness, the self-vindication, the presumption of mankind. Without that love, we are a lost race. We make promises that increase our obligation and which only another can keep. And Jesus alone can provide my righteousness. He came not by water only, but by water and blood. He gave himself for me. Only sacrifice could justify me. This Old Testament incident says to me, take my life and let it be. Consecrated, Lord, to thee, take my moments and my days, and let them flow in ceaseless praise. For he that loveth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it, and it's only in giving that I receive. So many expect these moments. They find reality at the long, long altar. Nothing is too small or is anything too complicated to bring before Jesus, and he's ready when we are. So follow me in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
There was a time when I was frightened of the altar. I imagine it to be a place of wrath, but nothing could be more wrong. It's a reception. The welcome mingles with love, concern, kindness, and provision. It's the best direction you'll ever take. Now please learn this lesson thoroughly. Satan can accuse you, but Satan can never condemn you. It's not within Satan's authority to condemn. Remember, there is therefore now no condemnation to him or to her who is in Christ Jesus. Satan will accuse you of everything imaginable. He is the accuser of the brethren. You can expect his insults and his charges, but Satan cannot condemn you. You are not his property. So move on through this barrage of insult. We follow thee, our loving Savior. Thou art the Lion of Judah. It is our confession of faith that thou, Jesus of Nazareth, art the only begotten Son of God, seed of the woman, Redeemer, Messiah, and I thank thee for beckoning many more toward heaven. It's thy sacrifice which atones and cleanses. I pray for busy housewives trying to find the way through washing and ironing, keeping house, getting meals. Please bless them in this greatest of all employment. I pray for people who have lost personal items this week, in many cases, items which cannot be replaced. Grant comfort and further property. Oh, we thank thee for so much revival on earth today. We thank thee for a rebirth of love between Catholic and Protestant, between Baptist and Pentecostal, between Lutheran and Episcopal, and now we can honestly sing, it's the old-time religion, and it does make me love everybody. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, Jesus brings to us gifts, which our Heavenly Father desires for the family of God upon earth. And the meeting is gathered to his glory, and he is present. Someone at the long, long altar has a piece of land he has not been able to sell. Part of the selling price will go into God's work. Now that property will be sold this week. It will be assigned to a circle of friends. Jesus is Lord, and the business of the believer is his business. Please. Use the stronger faith to advance in righteousness, to lead your loved ones toward a greater surrender before God. Now, I'm the Lord's servant evangelist. Of course, we feel something in this half hour together. It's a union and communion created by another world. It's a promise of eternity. This is not a program or a solicitation. It's a miracle of the Holy Spirit focusing God's message toward God's people. The Spirit is gathering those of us together who love his appearing and look for his appearing. The greatest shout this universe has ever heard is scheduled, and I'm listening for the shout. The Holy Spirit will tune you toward that split second if you will believe with me that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.